Now, if you're able, please remain standing and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, chapter 3. We're going to be reading together verses 1 through 17. This will be our scripture reading probably next Lord's Day evening as well. We're going to read all 17 verses here now, and tonight we'll focus on the first four for our sermon. This week is part one of a two-part series here on sanctification. Colossians chapter 3, let's give careful and diligent attention. This is God's inerrant word to us. The Apostle Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "If, then, you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them. But now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its Creator. Here there is no Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him." Amen. Please be seated. And now let us seek the Lord's illumination on His word. Let us pray. Our gracious God, Holy Spirit, we praise You as the author of Scripture. We know that the Bible is in human words, but it is not human opinion. It is the very Word of God, living and active, breathed out by God for our good. We ask now that as we sit to consider this evening, that You would open our hearts, that we may understand what You are saying to us in the Word. Sanctify us in the truth, O God. Your Word is truth. This we pray in the name of Christ, saying it together. Amen. I want to start out tonight with a couple questions for the kids in our congregation. The kids, are you paying attention, listening? How many of you really enjoy sanctification? How many of you know what sanctification is? Okay, let's try another one. How many of you really enjoy Legos? How many of you know what Legos are, even if you don't enjoy them? What are the two things that you always get with Legos? You get a box with a picture on it, right? And then inside the box you get all kinds of bags of pieces, right? What would you say if I told you that sanctification is like putting Legos together? That might be a way to understand it. Let's think about that as we go through tonight. And as we're going to come back to this idea of putting Legos together tonight. We have been talking in the evenings here at Resurrection Church about how the life of Jesus and the work of Jesus connects to us. How the Holy Spirit takes the work of Jesus and applies it to us, creates a link between us and Jesus. He does this by teaching our hearts to trust Jesus, by giving us new hearts, turning our hearts around so that we trust in Jesus. And when that happens, the Bible says, we are united to Jesus. And what happens when we are united to Jesus? We get all kinds of benefits. We are justified. God declares that we are going to heaven. We are adopted. God brings us into His family. And then God starts to work on us, to put us together and make us more into a picture of Jesus. Just like when you assemble Legos, you are taking the pieces and making them more like the picture. We're going to be looking at sanctification for the next 2 weeks. We're going to start tonight, and then we're going to continue next week. Sanctification is both God's work in us and our responsibility, whether we're very old or whether we're very young, even small children. And so we want to examine both pieces of this, both God's work and our responsibility. And we examine both so that when we examine God's work, we remain encouraged through the struggles. And when we examine our responsibility, we avoid laziness. How many of us have ever been lazy? How many of us are spiritually lazy at times? Right. And so this week we want to look at sanctification, and we'll continue again next week. And sanctification is basically this: how God works in us to make us more like Jesus. Big word, lots of letters, very simple idea. God working in us to make us more like Jesus. It's like Legos, and you'll see what I mean. Two parts to this sermon. Just like there are two pieces in a Lego set, a picture in the pieces, two parts in sanctification. The picture, how God sets us apart, and then the pieces, how God takes us apart and puts us back together. Let's look here at the text, and we'll talk through this as we go. Look then at the very first verse. If you don't have a Bible in front of you, just listen again. Paul says, "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Where is Jesus right now? Kids, where is Jesus right now? In heaven, right? And Paul says, "If you have been raised with Christ," what does that mean? Are we in heaven yet? No, but then how can we be connected to Jesus? We're connected to Him through what? Through trust. Through faith. We rest our hearts on Jesus, just like we rest our heads on our pillows. And the Bible says that when we trust in Jesus, we are actually raised with Him even now, in a sense. Listen to what the Bible says. "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show us the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Well, how are we raised with Christ? Listen to what the Bible says. "For by grace you have been saved through" what? "Through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." See, when we trust Jesus, we're so connected to Him that even though we're still on earth, the fact that He's in heaven means that we are, in a sense, with Him in heaven. And we live each day trusting in Jesus, seeking to live for Him. But what happens that from the very first moment you trust in Jesus? The Bible says the very first moment a person trusts in Jesus, whether it's as an adult or whether it's as a young child, it says the moment you first trust Him, the moment you first rest your heart on Him, the Bible says you are transferred. God transfers you from the kingdom of the devil into the kingdom of Jesus. Listen to Colossians 1, verse 13. "God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son." This transfer is what we call definitive sanctification. You say that three times quickly? Maybe not. Definitive sanctification. Now, what does that mean, kids? What does it mean? Definitive sanctification. Well, think about the word. Definitive sounds like the word definite, right? And the word definite sounds like what we talked about earlier, a definite picture on a box of Legos, right? You with me? You guys understand this? Right. Here's how it works. Before we trust Jesus, before we trusted Him, we were like a box of Lego pieces that were going to be thrown away and melted because they never stuck together. Because we were like those Legos. If you can imagine a set of Legos that rebels against their builder. The builder says, "I want to make this piece," and they say, "No, we're not going to stick together." If you had Legos and they would never stick together, what would you do with them? You throw them away. They're not good. You melt them down and do something else with the plastic. The Bible says sin is like that. When we rebel against God, we're like Legos that don't want to stick together. And unless something changes, we're going to be melted down under the wrath of God. But when God changes our hearts, when the Holy Spirit makes us to trust Jesus, all of a sudden, God Himself, that first time we trust Jesus, God takes us out of the melting box and puts us in a new box. And guess whose picture is on that box? Jesus' picture is on that box. And God says, now I'm going to put you back together and make you more like Jesus. Isn't this awesome? Believing in Jesus changes everything about your existence. The Bible says if anyone is in Jesus, he is a new creation. We go from the melting pile to the Jesus pile. God is going to make us more like our Savior. Kids, if we believe in Jesus, does that mean we never sin? No. Even the grown-ups are shaking their heads. No, we sin. But what it means is that sin no longer defines us. The picture on the box is no longer sin. Even though we still have sin, the picture on the box is Jesus. Listen to some commentators saying this, talking about the difference between a sinner, somebody who is in the sin box, and a saint. A saint is anybody who trusts Jesus. Commentator says, a saint does sin, but a Christian is one who has saint, the Jesus box, as their constant identity, and sinner as their occasional activity. For the Christian, there is a vital difference between having sin and being sin. And if you prefer military analogies, if Legos aren't your thing, listen to this. This is from John Murray. John Murray said, it is one thing for sin to live in us. It is another thing for us to live in sin. It is one thing for the enemy to occupy the capital. It is another thing for his defeated host to harass the garrisons of the kingdom. Kids, do you get the idea? Grown-ups, do you guys get the idea that when we've come to faith in Jesus, we are transferred into a new category? We go from being in the category doomed to destruction, the category of sinner, into the category that is going to be made like Jesus, what the Bible calls saints. Those who we made like Jesus. And look at verses 2 and 3 now, and here in Colossians 3. Paul says, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Then he goes on in verse 2 to say, set your minds on the things that are above, not on things that are on earth. Why? Because you've died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Think about it like this. Suppose you were going to relocate to a new country. Have any of you here ever lived in a different country? Some of you have. So the relocation process, that requires some mental adjustments, doesn't it? If you're leaving the United States and you're going to live, let's say, I don't know, in Germany, there's a sense in which at some point you have to stop thinking like an American and start, at least in some sense, to think like a German so that you can live in that country. And vice versa, when you're coming back, you have to say, okay, I can't think in terms of Stippdaschnik, you know, that doesn't work. I have to start thinking in terms of English. My German is really bad, so forgive me. It's the same idea here, that if we have been transferred, if our citizenship has been fundamentally transferred into the kingdom of heaven, then we have to start making that mental adjustment to stop thinking that this world is everything, that this world defines us, and to start thinking about the ways of heaven, the ways of the King Jesus, the ways that He would have us live. The Christian life can be very difficult. And the longer you live as a Christian, the more you can attest to that fact. Is it not so? Those of you who maybe are a little older than me. But it's fundamentally very simple. Difficult, but simple. Christian living, and kids, you want to listen to this. As you grow up, things will get confusing. But remember, being a Christian is simply about living consistently with your identity. It is about being who you are in Jesus. If you are connected to Jesus and you're in the Jesus box, then living the Christian life is all about learning to live as a picture of Jesus. God working in you to make you more like Jesus. One of my former mentors, I haven't seen him for years, but he mentored me through a licensure process when I was in seminary. He described sanctification as learning to live in redemption. It's learning to express what God has done in us. I think that's a good way to think about it. How do we know if it's us? How do we know if we are living in Christ? Jesus gives us, I think, one of the easiest tests in the Beatitudes. Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied." The question is not, do I ever sin? Is there anybody here who thinks they never sin? Who wants to be disciplined by the elders? The question is, do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do we at least want to obey Jesus? How many of us would like to be able to obey Jesus, even though we fail? Me too. This is what it means, the picture. God sets us apart. He puts us in the Jesus box. And then the second piece of our sermon tonight is like that second part of a Lego set. All the pieces that you have to put together, being sanctified, being made more like Jesus, is like being pieces and God taking us apart and putting us back together. And this is why it's such a struggle. Why is it such a struggle to be made more like Jesus? Look at verse 4 or listen. Paul says, "When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory." Has Jesus come back yet, kids? No. And so we're not going to have perfect obedience to Jesus yet. It's always going to be a struggle in this life. Those of you who have lived in another country, when you get to that halfway point in your relocation process, it's crazy, right? You're trying to tie up things in this country while trying to prepare to live in this one. If you can imagine the hassle and the stress that you'd be going through, that's what the Christian life is like. We're trying to learn to live in the ways of heaven while still being stuck here in this life. It's hard. We are called in the Christian life to live for the world to come while still living in this world. And the Bible says sanctification is God working in us, and yet we have to participate. Philippians 2, verses 12, 13. "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." This is what theologians call progressive sanctification, because it's progress, it's a process. Again, think of it like building Legos. How many of you have ever built a Lego set, even though you don't like Legos, right? What happens when you're about halfway through? Do you see the picture the way it should be yet? No. Not quite. Still a lot of mess, isn't it? And then how many of you have ever had the experience that you're about halfway through and all of a sudden the picture doesn't look like it should and you realize, three steps back, I forgot to put a piece where it was supposed to go. Yeah. Being a Christian is like that too. God is working in us so we have the picture. We know how the pieces are supposed to come together. But sometimes we put them in the wrong place or we forget to put one, or just because we want to be contrary, we say, "I'll put it here." And we mess up. And we struggle. But unlike with Legos, we have the promise in the Bible that God is the master builder. And that He will, despite all our flaws, despite all our messing it up, kids, God will someday put us together perfectly. The Bible promises this. Paul says in Philippians 1, he says, "I'm sure of this, that God who began a good work in you, whether you're old, whether you're young, will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus." Is it a struggle? Yep. Is it painful? Sometimes. But the pain is good for you. Why? Because God is taking us apart so that He can put us back together again in a better way. I'm going to end tonight with a quote from C.S. Lewis. If you have an outline, you have it in front of you. But listen to this. He asks us to imagine this. Kids, listen to this. Imagine this. Imagine yourself as a living house. God comes in to rebuild that house. How many of you have ever seen somebody rebuild a house or remodel a house? I have. At first, perhaps you're the living house. Perhaps you can imagine, you can understand what God is doing. He's getting the drains right. He's stopping the leaks in the roof and so on. And you knew that those jobs had to get done. So you're not surprised. But presently, soon, God starts knocking the house around in ways that hurt abominably and doesn't quite seem to make sense. What on earth is He up to? The explanation is that God is building quite a different house from the one you thought of. throwing out a new wing here, putting on an extra floor there, running up towers, making courtyards. You thought you were going to be made into a decent little cottage. But God is building a palace because He intends to come and live there Himself. Sanctification is both a definite picture and a progress, a painful process. But we can trust in the Lord through it because He is good and He intends for our good. Remember that God's intent is not to cause you pain for pain's sake, but to make you more like Jesus. Do you trust in Jesus? Then cooperate with God. Don't resist God. He takes you apart. It hurts. And yet, He intends to put you back together and make you fit for heaven. Who of us wants to go to heaven? Trust in Jesus and let Him work in you. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank You for sanctification. It's a big word, but it is an important word. Our God, we don't want to be melted under Your wrath. We don't want to face the judgment that we deserve. We want to go to heaven. But to go to heaven means we have to be made like Jesus. This is Your will, to make us more like our Savior. You call us to set our minds on the things of heaven, not the things on earth. That's hard. And sometimes we resist. Forgive us, our God. Create in us hearts that are willing and ready and want to be transformed. And then, God, work in us that transforming grace by the power of Your Holy Spirit. For it is, as the Bible says, not we who work, but You who work in us. Let us enjoy the process. Let us be thankful even when it hurts. Because You will not leave us as little cottages full of dirt, but You intend to make us clean and glorious palaces fit for a King, our King, Jesus Christ. It's in His name that we pray, saying all these things together. Amen.